Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Daft Runners podcast. We're Alex and Jamie. Where's Jamie?
Alex, I'm here. Oh. Jamie.
Oh, hey, Jamie.
Hey.
Yes, so we do rather daft things and also run, like improvised comedy.
Well done, Alex. That's pretty good improvisation. That's pretty good. This podcast documents our journey as we sign up, train, and complete to a varying degree of success and array of challenges across the UK and further afield.
This is part 5 of our initial race planning discussion, where we pick up on a couple of events that would see us head into Scotland and Wales and also the US of A.
Wait a second, did we actually enter
Jamie,
any of those
spoilers?
Races?
I mean, for Pete's sakes.
Pete, events is Pete?
Never mind. Yes, okay, so we're on to the Ultra Great Britain, which is a race across Scotland. It's 215 miles. Yeah, that's a long way. It's really a long way.
Yeah, I don't think I've run that much from one start of a race to end of a race.
And I think outside of Adam's madness race, that's by far the longest race we've come across so far. I've been across Scotland. It's lovely. I really mean that. I mean, there's been points where I did the rat race coast to coast, and it was, as you come over some of the glens and the clouds part, and you have like the beams of sunlight coming through, it's some of the most beautiful scenery I've seen. But I don't think 250 miles of running will help that in any case.
Yeah, I mean, we struggled with 69 miles going across from Carlisle to Newcastle. Albeit, that is Newcastle. Maybe 250 miles, it's quite ambitious. But
definitely. And then a bit later in September, because normally it's right at the start, but this is actually the 7th of September, we've got the Man vs. Mountain finishing off that trifecta. As I say, definitely up for this, probably one of my favourite races. Done it a few times now, and I mean, very much looking forward to it. Was your first time this year rather?
We've done it twice.
Really?
Yeah, we did it this year, and we did it...
Oh, of course, because we stayed at the Black Boy Inn.
Yeah.
Which has an interesting past.
It's a really unfortunate name, really, in the nowadays context. But but it's great event. Really enjoyed it. It's always been really challenging. Both times I've done it, I thought I'd been in relatively good shape. Each time I've been proven wrong.
It's definitely one of those ones where it's kind of... I remember the... Yeah, that's right, because I think the year before last, so last year being this year, ultimately, but had some really bad cramping going on my legs on the way down, which was really disappointing, because after you reach the peak, that's really the best part of the race, I think. It's when you actually have like some clear downhill running, lots of speed, lots of technical bits where you have to go over rocks and stuff, and I think this year was a bit more, a bit more staying power in it. As I was coming off an injury, it was taking a bit easier going up the hill. The mountain! Because it's the Man vs. Mountain. Mm-hmm. And so coming back down, I enjoyed it a bit more and was able to actually pelt down. But because it was a bit slower, the issue was just the volume of people, I think. I think that's the one challenge on this one, because it is such a popular... Snowdon is the mountain, if we haven't mentioned. Going up Snowdon in Wales is a fairly popular thing to do. It's the highest peak in Wales. I mean, it's not a humongous mountain, but it's very popular to climb and it gets very busy. So coming down, trying to weave your way through the volumes of people and not being on an early wave can really set you back a bit.
So first thing, we need to get an early wave. We should probably do that now.
I believe I'm already in it. How have you not already booked this, Jamie?
I've let the team down again.
Gosh darn it. So maybe I'll put in our little tracker here. Wave one. 8 o'clock. I'm already there. How are you? Surely you must be there, Ian.
I'll check.
You need to be in that first wave. I think. Right. I mean, if you can get up to the mountain, like I'm trying to remember how long it takes you to get to the top, but
it felt like a couple of hours, at least 3 hours, maybe 3 hours.
Yeah. So I mean, getting there by lunchtime. I think that's the main thing.
I think I do remember being queues when you get to the top as well, and there's queues at the obstacles later on, and so
that's the issue. Yeah, exactly. It's a case of the later you get in the day, the more the walkers will catch up. If you remember, like when we were driving to the start, we got the cab over, and I wasn't the start, it was registration. Sorry, but the cab driver was saying how he used to shuttle these guys over first thing in the morning. These guys in their 60s and 70s who were like walking at the mountain like early doors. And I mean, those guys obviously would probably still be there, but I guess the majority of people are starting like at least sun up, which I think around that time of year is like 7 o'clock, something like that, 6-7 o'clock. And if you're running, hopefully you'll beat those guys. So if you can get there before all the walkers get there, then you've got less queuing to worry about when you reach the peak. So yeah, being in the first wave is really handy, and then we can obviously get back in time to enjoy some more beers down in Carnarvon.
I also found the vertical mile here is probably the toughest one I faced. So vertical kilometres. So they have vertical kilometres for all these races, and the Man vs Mountain really is just it's pretty tough. Each time you go in the corner, it's like more stairs. So I mean, I think definitely a lot of hill training for me this year.
Definitely. I think the worst thing about the vertical kilometre here is that it's after you've just done Snowdon. So you've gone up Snowdon, you've come back down. You have a little bit of a break as you run essentially across the valley, and you got the vertical kilometre against, like you say, lots of steps, lots of, like, I'm not quite sure, there must be a particular word for this, but all kind of the roots that are coming out of the ground. Mm. You have to kind of clamber over those and then across some old coal mine routes, and the looks on the people's faces as you're doing it this year is like when you turn it, it's like, you could see like, oh, thank goodness we're getting to the top, but you know, having done it before, it's kind of like, well, this isn't quite the top, my friend.
So I remember the first time we did this, we were able to drop our packs off just before we started. And so you went up the 30 kilometre without a pack. So this year I'd forgotten about, I thought I could drop my pack, and I'd reloaded all my water. So I had a couple of litres in my backpack, and thought I'd be able to drop it off, but no. So I also had to carry up two litres of water.
I think I did exactly the same thing. I basically was like, oh, well, it's the last stop, I'll fill it up with water, and I know for sure that we're dropping it before we go up there next hill. But actually, no, yeah, they changed it. And then I was like, oh, well, I'm just carrying on up here.
Who needs to make it harder, right?
Yeah, that's it. And I think being in the first wave as well, maybe this year we'll be able to do the abseiling, because we skipped it this year because of the queues. So this Man vs Man is, I think, the main not running thing in it, even though there are some small water obstacles, is the abseil, which was different in the last couple of years than it has been when I first did it, as it kind of goes down the face of the hill into the, I'm not sure if it's a lake or a part of the river. So you're like abseiling into water, which is all well and good and quite fun, except when you have to stand at the base of the hill and basically walk up the hill waiting in a massive queue for 40 minutes or whatever. So if you're in an early wave, you have hopefully a less of a queue to get into that, and then that makes it, yeah, it's a bit more of the, you know, bang for your buck for doing that race, really. You get to take advantage of that.
Definitely agree, yeah. So I'll sign up to the wave one in a second.
Do it. Cool, and staying in Wales for September, we've got the King Offa's Dyke. I'm sure I've said that wrong, which is terrible for my Welsh heritage. But, it's a border race south to north, 185 miles. And, you know, it's a bloody long way. And my instinct is to say no, because I don't think I can do that far. That would be by far the longest distance.
So I counterpoint something, though. I say just a mere week afterwards.
Yeah.
Is the Source to City, which is a race in New York, which I think is a multi-day event.
It is indeed. Actually, I believe the King Offa's Dyke is over multiple days as well, because you go from the 13th all the way to the 16th, 3 days.
Wow. Oh, so we'd miss our coast-to-coast race.
Yeah, and I was leaning towards not doing... Did you say coast-to-coast or Source to City?
Oh, sorry. So Coast to Coast is another rat race, and on the 14th of September. And I think if we did the King Offa's.
Yeah.
I'm not going to try that. I'm sorry. I suppose we'd miss that Coast to Coast race as well. But the downside or upside is that race has mountain bikes as well.
Coast to Coast definitely has mountain bikes.
105 miles, kayaking, mountain biking, running. So, I mean, is it really...
And it is a good race, as I said when I was talking about the other Scottish... What's it called? The race across Scotland? So a similar one. But Coast to Coast I have done. And yes, the mountain biking was horrific. For me, again, using a rental bike, the wrong size of rental bike. I mean, the first and only year I've done it. So the Coast to Coast, has both on and off-road segments. So you kind of need a bike that's capable of both. Not quite a hybrid, but I think there's a particular type of mountain bike-esque thing. I'm not very good with bikes, but I did not have one of these because I booked very late. I think this was your fault, Jamie. Because it was the year when I think... But Adam also had the pass, I think, this year. Or at least Adam was going to be doing this race with us. And I was waiting for all three of us to kind of align with it. We kind of didn't. And I was like, screw it, I'm going to do it. Because this was actually one of the races I was really looking forward to. But by the time I got to booking a bike, the only thing the supplier had was a proper full-on mountain bike with the, you know, almost like 5-6 inch treads on the damn thing. Tires, sorry. Ridiculously deep treads. Which, if you are, you know... On the first day, doing a lot of road cycling, I believe that I did over 2 days. I'm not sure if that's standard or whether it's a single day event now. I think it's 2 days still. The first day is basically all road bikes, and then the second day is all mountain biking. So the first day on this huge beast of a mountain bike, I never touched a brake. I was just rolling around. Oh, look, I've got to make a turn here. Stop pedaling, and oh look, I'm almost completely stopped. Essentially, I swear I never touched a brake that day. I was like, okay, cycle, turn. That's nothing. Would have made a good courier in New York if that. I imagine that was a biopic by Joseph Gordon-Levitt in that movie, which I forget the title of. I imagine it was called like Courier or Bike Rider or something like that, where he's on a single speed the entire movie.
So I'm wrapped into this scene. So George, Joseph Gordon-Levitt cycling in the wilderness on a mountain bike.
I believe he's in New York, but I'm basically saying it's the same thing. You know, he didn't use a brake because, you know, single speed. We don't use brakes. I don't know why that's a thing that's good to have. I don't understand that.
Someone
that
got
culture.
Killed in London, they were,
because of that. I think there surely must be a rule by now to say, like, put a goddamn brake on your bike. Yeah, what the hell are you doing?
Great, so our show's coming into kind of social issues. I think it's really important to deal with these.
But digressing, back to the second day where it was actually proper mountain biking, going up, going down, technical things, where the brake, like, I put it on and it sounded like a wailing bear caught in a trap. It was terrible. Terrifying. I did not trust that brake. I basically, when I had to do the downhills, I was like, you know, I'm going to stop, get off my bike and carry my bike down a hill because I do not trust this brake to actually hold my weight in this bike.
You've got a history of carrying bikes, which are broken,
indeed. Yeah, exactly. So.
That's why we don't like mountain bikes. Probably.
Yeah. Broken rental mountain bikes are a disgrace to everything. So yes, but ultimately there were certain parts of this, especially in the running section, I really enjoyed going over the glens into the lochs and stuff, and it's like absolutely spectacular scenery. Spectacular.
Is that a maybe? If we get like a proper bike sorted.
One thing to note is this is part of the adventure part, not the endurance part.
Okay.
So we would pay extra for it. I'm going to go with probably no, simply because of the mountain biking part.
Okay.
For me. And I mean, even if I purchased my own mountain bike, we would have to fly it up. I think because it is. I remember I stayed in Aberdeen and then had to travel up to Nairn, which is where its start point is. I imagine it's the same this year, and it's kind of like it's a logistical headache for me. But I mean, some people I believe actually do it so they have a road bike on the first day and a mountain bike on the second day.
Yeah,
it's way too much. Organisation wise, <it's, laughs>
Jesus Christ,
way too much. The next race though, I'm quite interested in. So that's the Sorcerer City in New York. So I think it's the first time rat race I've done one in the US. I'm very keen to try it, but at the same time. Fitting in that amount of cycling, or the right amount of cycling, probably be the better way to describe it. The right amount of cycling to train for that race to do well, or that challenge. It's over a couple of days. Yeah, I'd be a bit concerned about that based on the lack of biking events that we're probably going to do this year. And just generally, you know, since I moved back to London, it seems even worse. I'm not really that keen on cycling around. But yeah, any thoughts?
It sounds spectacular. I'd love to do something like that. Also, apparently you go up Bear Mountain. Some kind of bears.
Bear Mountain,
yeah. Oh. I think it's definitely... Actually, saying that, I probably would want to avoid that. I don't really want to get mauled by bear. So I'm keen, but I do agree with you in terms of our cycling. Maybe something for 2020. Maybe something we could kind of, yeah, as I get like fatter and less fit as we do this, then maybe we can do something even more ambitious and it'll be even more funny.
Yeah. Quite possibly. Maybe the 2020 is a year of trying to reach out a bit more, do some of those more broad type races, taking advantage of all the benefits of Brexit.
Yes, I definitely feel that my potential income is going up to be able to pay for these things.
100%.
We need to plug the plugs. Okay, so that's definitely great, like maybe.
Yeah, still maybe. I think the price goes up for Saucer City at the end of the year, so I'll probably revisit it after eating all the food on Christmas Day and be like, I probably need to on the challenge. maybe that's an update to the podcast post Christmas.
Through the power of editing, we are now post Christmas. And although I ate enough to feel guilty about it, I can say that I did not eat enough to warrant carting the extra weight across the Atlantic. Well, at least not yet, anyway.
And in the interim, we're going to remain here in the UK and release the rest of our continuing adventures in planning, of all things.
And we're actually about to make a start on our races this coming weekend, so stay tuned to hear about the preparation for that and our post-race report. But in the meantime, if you'd like to get in touch with us, please do email us at podcasts@daftrunners.com.